You're listening to WNHH Community Radio 103.5 FM. This is The Table Underground, and I'm your host, Tegan Engel. We're digging deep into stories of food, race, radical love, and creative social justice. Today's show is with ice cream entrepreneur Netta Hadari. In addition to his work as a teacher, a classical musician, and a parent, Netta has become obsessed with ice cream, and I mean this in the best possible way. I met Netta about 6 months ago in the depths of winter when he was testing out recipes for his 100% real ingredient ice cream, and he invited me over to do some taste testing for his new business. I happily joined him to geek out on ice cream and talk in ridiculous detail about each recipe and flavor, as well as the complications of opening a food business. In the first half of today's show, you'll hear a few clips of that conversation where we're at Netta's house, talking, tasting, and even checking out his new commercial machine in the basement. In the second half of the show, I visited him again in June, just after he launched his business, to check back in and see how things were going. To start off today, I asked Netta to tell me a little bit about his music and teaching work and how ice cream fits into it all. Did you help run Music Haven, or you were part of?
Yeah, I mean, I was at the very beginning. Tina, my wife, really founded Music Haven, and I saw her staying up till all hours of the morning, really.
Right, and so the intention of Music Haven was to try to get kids in the inner city who don't actually have access to learning how to play instruments and music,
right,
and creating a program that.
Mm-hmm. Access to music, but also access to world-class musicians to mentor them.
Mm.
So it would be a string quartet that is anchored to the most underserved neighborhoods of New Haven.
Mm.
So it's not that we're practicing any kind of outreach, but mm-hmm. we're actually in. Tina calls it inreach.
Mm-hmm. In because you're in the neighborhoods.
You're in the neighborhoods. You're teaching. You're performing in the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. People get to know you. And it was a fantastic program. Very, very successful. And that's it.
Yeah. So I think the thing that intrigues me and that I'm constantly struggling with in my life is doing work like that is so meaningful, right? Like, you feel like there are these enormous injustices. Well, I'll speak for myself. Like,
yeah.
I feel like there are these enormous injustices in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, systems that put all these things in place, right, that have kept people oppressed and kept people from having opportunities to have full, meaningful lives mm-hmm. and fair opportunities in the world. And many people who care about, you know, are aware of those injustices and want to do something about it, get into the line of work that you guys are in. Like,
yeah.
Our passion is music. We're going to use our passion to try to address some of these unfair things in the world and try to create opportunities and do it in a respectful, meaningful way, right? Not like, as you're saying, in reach. Like, there was an awareness that it's not about pulling kids out of their neighborhood and saying, where you're from is bad, you have to come out to do something different. It's
mm-hmm.
saying, here's this beautiful thing that can enhance your life. And if it speaks to you, then join us and we will support you in doing that. And so my understanding of what you guys were doing was doing it in this, like, respectful, meaningful way. And I go from that in my own life, I go from doing that kind of work and I'm like, but I really love making ice cream or making sweets and kind of on a spiritual kind of human equity, justice levels, as somebody who, like, is aware of those things and cares about those things. Like, how do you deal with that with yourself? Like, now I'm making ice cream. Like, does this matter? Or is the fact that it's a treat and special, like, also important? Like, how do you deal with that sort of conflict?
I am a person who has a lot of interests. And trying to pace my life to fulfill those interests. And I also have two children. And my family is my priority.
Mm-hmm.
Always, always, always. But I have a lot of itches to scratch as well. So I'm still, you know, with my wife and I still teaching in Waterbury.
Mm-hmm.
It's a underserved neighborhoods, but we're in a very fortunate environment was very supportive. School
mm.
for all these children. We have a program where we see every child every day from first to fourth grade.
Wow.
Well, Monday through Thursday, 151 children every day.
Wow.
So we see every kid every day for strings, violin, violoncello, and it's compulsory for every student to play. So it's the first year of the program. So it's an interesting journey.
Yeah.
So we still have that balance of social justice, I think, but it's not that. I think that we feel very strongly that every child should have an opportunity to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And why should they have it with? Why should they not have it with an international touring musician,
mm-hmm.
you know, or someone who has a grad school from one of the top grad degree from one of the top conservatories?
Mm-hmm.
Why should it not be that?
Right.
And you know, we are those people, so we feel very fortunate to be in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
But ice cream. Let's think about it again.
Yeah.
Let's think about it again. So I have an entrepreneurial streak in me. I produced an app with my friend 2 years ago. And that really wasn't my thing, I don't think. It was the app was a great idea, and it was fun creating it with my best friend. But this ice cream is more my style.
Yeah.
More my style. It's I'm the brand. I like being with people. I don't really like being around computers. I want to try to bootstrap it as much as I can at the beginning and see how far it goes.
Yeah. I think it's good to start with where your passion is, you know, and then you figure out along the way, are there places where you can change and compromise that feel okay? That the balance of work and time and money and product quality.
Right.
And I think that's what the process that you're going through is, figuring out kind of where are those lines for yourself, and that will then determine for you how you move forward. So
right. I also want to create ice cream that I really believe in. I feel as though I just want to create some small batch ice cream, go to events in Connecticut,
yeah.
and sell it. I think that the flavors and the texture should be good enough that you just will have a little scoop of it. You're not going to eat 5 scoops of my ice cream in one shot.
Right.
Because you're just going to, I think, want to linger on each bite if I really succeed. If I succeed in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what is real ice cream, that's the company.
Yeah.
I want people to feel what is real for them as well. So I have a little chef statement.
Do you
want to
read it?
Sure.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I looked at this. Let's take a while. Let's take a look. Do you ever wonder what is real? For me, real is a moment of intimate connection with close friends, family, and sometimes complete strangers. Real is laughter, genuine laughter that leaves me gasping for air. Real is watching children explore life with endless fascination. Real is when beauty and excellence are created from the frustrations and hard work of many trials. What is real? Ice cream. Beautiful, handmade ice cream from me to you without any artificial anything that may bring us closer to create more moments of real.
That's beautiful.
So that's really how I felt about it. And I remember coming home one day and from work, something, I don't remember even what it was. I was questioning, well, what is real to me? And
mm-hmm.
those things came up. And that's when the brand happened. Yeah.
So much. How long have you been working on the ice cream?
Maybe 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a year. I've slipped on these stairs before. This is my machine.
Beautiful.
6 quarts at a time, theoretically. it's an Emery Thompson. It's made in the USA.
So you got this from a restaurant that was closing, or
ice cream shop that was closing in New York. I got my buddy, and I think it's about £300. I needed somebody else to
get it down here.
Get it with me.
Have you used it yet? Are you using it to freeze this ice cream?
Or? I've used it a few times, but my recipes are not stable enough to handle the revolutions per minute or something. I've been getting fat globules separating.
Okay.
And like little bits of butter.
Right.
And I think that what the issue is that I don't have enough solids in my recipes. I think
in terms of like eggs in it or just the milk fat?
The skim milk powder fat content versus water content versus solids. So whatever is happening, the recipe is separating. And the more I read about it, the more this ice cream business is a complete science. It's very fine science, actually, of balancing your solids with the water content, with emulsifiers, with all of that. And I'm trying not to use any artificial stabilizers.
Right.
Let's start with ice cream.
This is beautiful.
And first, we're going to try salty vanilla.
Okay.
So vanilla is the number one flavor that people eat in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted my vanilla to really stand out. I want it to be
God, it's so good.
I want it to be different. Whether I can tell this vanilla, people say, like, no, it tastes more like caramel. But people say salty vanilla will go.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to prime people, I think, for the flavors.
So this is your
strawberry samba right now is the working title. Take a test.
Very bright strawberry taste.
Oh, good.
Like fresh tasting.
Good. Yeah. I've had a few tastings in my house.
Yeah.
When I first started out, when I was creating vanilla, I just took 4 very different recipes from the internet and gave everybody a taste test of all those 4. And I learned that you just can't satisfy everybody.
Right.
People like different flavors, different textures, even the very icy vanilla. People said, oh, this reminds me of when I was 5.
Right.
And we used to go to our grandparents' place.
Yeah.
And we used to make vanilla outside in the backyard with the rock salt.
With the rock salt, yeah.
The rock salt. So they like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I went and the strawberry, the fruit flavors having problems with ice.
Yeah. So because the water content.
The water content of the fruit. Well, I roast the strawberries now.
You roast them.
I roast them with sugar and balsamic vinegar. It just just enhances a flavor or something.
Yeah.
But I've never managed to get a strawberry that's full of flavor.
Yeah.
As this one.
Yeah.
And you know those 2 flavors that you tasted, I really believe in those flavors.
Yeah.
They were very hard fought.
Yeah.
You know, many, 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 many iterations.
Yeah.
Of those particular flavors, and I had a tasting a month ago with 3 of my flavors, and it didn't go well. You know, I think people really like the ice cream because people like ice cream.
Yeah.
But I was very unhappy about it.
What were you unhappy about?
The consistency of the texture. The consistency in the from scoop to scoop and pint to pint that I had. I was unhappy that I had a new machine. I couldn't really use it. The commercial machine.
Yeah.
I was just made a bunch of batches in my Cuisinart machine just to make it to the tasting.
Right.
And
yeah, that's
I was not happy presenting that ice cream.
Yeah.
But I'm happy presenting those 2.
Yeah.
Now.
They were great.
Oh, great.
They were great. I mean, the texture was good. The flavor was good. Great. Like, they were a little different, you know, which is great. And, I think those were exceptional.
Oh, excellent.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Cool.
Absolutely.
So, I'm ready to do more.
Hi, Netta.
Hi, Tegan.
Nice to see you again.
Thanks for coming over.
Yeah. So last time I was here, we were down in your basement checking out your ice cream machine and tasting some of your ice cream, some that you thought were great, some that you were still working on. Uh-huh. And that was a number of months ago. And since then, you have launched your business.
Indeed.
So tell me again the name of your ice cream business.
So the name of the business is What Is Real Ice Cream.
And why do you call it that?
Well, first of all, there are no artificial ingredients in the ice cream. The milk, cream, and the eggs are sourced locally from Connecticut farms. And I don't have any stabilizers in the ice cream.
There's no guar gum and all that.
There's no guar gum. There are delicious ice creams that have stabilizers in them. It's just a choice that I made to see if I could do it. Ice cream, I think, is inherently an unstable product. And the stabilizers make it a little bit more stable. And I'm finding out the pitfalls of not using stabilizers.
Which are what? What are you finding?
Well, in my big batch freezer, for instance, make the ice cream. The ice cream doesn't last as long in the machine. It turns into butter.
Ah.
Pretty quickly.
Because it's churning. It's going around and around.
Exactly.
And so you have to stop it right before it goes from being perfectly creamy frozen to turning into butter.
Exactly. So okay. I don't think I'm able to get as much air into the ice cream as I would like.
Okay.
But that's a compromise I have to make. And I'm still trying to figure out whether it's a question of ingredients, whether I need to... I definitely should be using homogenized cream and milk.
Right.
But again, that's a choice that I'm making right now. And I will try larger batches with homogenized cream and milk. Hopefully, we'll be able to source that still from Connecticut farms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue. And there's actually zero room for error. There's zero room.
Have you lost some batches?
I have thrown out so much ice cream
into
the toilet. It makes my heart bleed every time.
And you were having these problems of having like little fat globules in your ice cream when you first started freezing it in the commercial freezer versus
right.
your small household one. So how did you overcome that?
So I discovered through some research and talking to people online that that's actually the butter.
So that was it starting to turn to
it's
butter?
It's turning into butter.
Okay.
And becomes grainy and has little fat globules in it. So I just had to churn it for less time.
Okay.
For less time. So it's enough time that it becomes ice cream, but not enough time that it becomes, that it has a lot of air in the ice cream.
Right.
So I would say that it ends up being beautifully creamy.
Yeah.
But it's just a question of volume. So I think I could probably get more volume out of the ice cream if I churned it for longer.
Okay.
But you have managed.
I saw you out on first event. You had a beautiful cart. You were parked outside of the
Thank
Ordinary
you.
On Chapel Street.
Yeah.
And I know that the Ordinary is partnership with Caseous Business, and they really
right.
support using a lot of local ingredients, both at the Ordinary Bar as well as Caseous Restaurant and all their extended businesses. Tell me how that first day went. I tasted your ice cream. There were no butter. It was delicious, delicious ice cream. How
Thank
did it
you.
Go on the first day?
It went really well. If the weather had been better, it would have been even better.
Yeah.
But for the first night, first time out, it was a wonderful experience to be out on the street, have people talk about the ice cream, taste the ice cream, but also compare the ice cream to other ice creams in New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to say that I was favorably compared, which was nice to hear.
Yeah. And you were parked sort of right in the middle of a little ice cream alley. You had
right.
You had Arethusa new farm-based
right.
ice cream right up the street. Ashley's around the corner. So
right.
And Shake Shack custard right,
right
on your other side. So you're sort of in a little ice cream alley there.
Indeed. I had some Shake Shack employees come out and taste the ice cream too, which was
yeah.
nice.
And what were some of the flavors that you had?
That day I had vanilla, banana, strawberry, and I had a limited amount of dulce de leche.
Mm-hmm.
And
which
that sold out
that
very
so good.
That sold out really quickly.
Yeah.
So far, so good. I've been out on the street at Elm and Hill House,
mm-hmm.
where some other food trucks are parked,
mm-hmm.
and just building a reputation. Yesterday, I arrived, and there was somebody waiting for me.
That's so exciting.
It was very exciting. Somebody I didn't know, and she said her boss said that she needed to
try
have some
your
of the
ice cream.
And she was there, and I just told her, can you give me 10 minutes and I'll set up? And she said, sure, I'll wait.
Yeah, so if people are looking for you, tell us what your setup looks like.
So I have a tricycle icicle tricycle, and
it's like big, a tricycle with a big cooler, a big exactly. white cooler on it.
Big mm-hmm. big cooler. I believe in recycling, so I have recycling bin next to the tricycle. I have a big blue umbrella up on top, and you'll see me out there. I make it and I serve it. And if you want to track me down, you can track me down on Instagram or Facebook. It's whatisreal_icecream.
And to get to this point, so when I first interviewed you, yes. you were churning ice cream in your basement, which yes. we know you can't churn ice cream in your basement and sell it to the public.
Cannot so do that.
You had to find a commercial location
uh-huh.
and set up a bunch of other things to get this really launched as a real valid business. So can you tell me a little bit about that process and what some of the successes, some of the challenges were for you?
So finding a space was a challenge for a few reasons.
This was a production space.
Production space.
To make your ice cream.
So I'd have to either find a shared commercial kitchen space, which there are a limited number of those around New Haven, or to rent space from a current establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm happy to say that I'm currently renting from a local place,
mm-hmm.
and I go in after hours and I churn ice cream.
You go in at night. They're using the kitchen during the day, and you go in at night.
So it's great. I need that quiet just to concentrate, because there's no room for error to make when you make ice cream.
Right.
Zero.
You can't mess it up.
You can't mess it up.
And how many places did you try to find? How many different businesses did you talk to roughly to try to find a kitchen space?
I would say I had leads on about five.
Five kitchens before I found one.
And it just happened to, I just was walking down the street and I thought, let's try this place.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, the owner was there, and it worked out. The owner took a risk with me, and so far it's working out very well.
That's great. So you brought in your machine that you purchased, your commercial machine, yep. you're renting space to keep it there. And do they have a lot of freezer space, or do you have to rent additional freezer space somewhere?
They had some freezer space, which they don't really use.
Oh, okay.
So it works Perfect. Out really well. It's a very flexible arrangement. And if there's not enough freezer space, I move things. If not enough fridge space, I move things. They move my stuff. It works very well so far.
Yeah. So on top of having an ice cream business, you're also a full-time music teacher.
Yes.
How is this working for you?
I don't see it working during the school year, but now that I have vacation, it's working out really well.
Okay.
And anyway, during the school year, it'll become fall and winter when people are not going to be eating ice cream anyway.
Right. So you're thinking just kind of running this during the summer months?
I'm thinking during summer, early fall, maybe on the weekends. I'm hoping to pick up some private events.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where I want to be. You know, weddings, bar mitzvahs, other events that people want, you know, local handmade ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And what I also want to be doing is doing private tastings. So you have dinner and you invite me over for dessert. I bring in some pints. Maybe you have an input about some flavor. You know, I really want mint chocolate chip.
Mm-hmm.
I've never made mint chocolate chip, but I'm happy to go to make mint chocolate chip for you. And that pushes me to create something beautiful
mm-hmm.
that I would not have created.
And you think this is sort of the angle for this business, maybe because the ice cream doesn't necessarily hold up in the freezer as long, or because it's like kind of more high-end ice cream that has more of a niche market? Is that sort of what you're thinking?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. It's at the end of the day, people are going to choose to eat my ice cream or go to Mr. Softy, or to go to Ashley's or Arethusa,
right.
or go to Carvel. So they're going to make that choice.
Yeah. And how is it working? Because it's also being sold at The Ordinary as part of their menu in the restaurant, in the bar. Do you think that works well?
I think all collaborations are experimental and need to be tried out, and not just tried out once unless it really bombs.
Yeah.
So
they had something delicious on the menu, right? What did they make?
It was incredible. So first of all, they made cocktails based off of the ice creams.
Okay.
And then they made donuts, and they griddled the donuts and had some of my vanilla ice cream in the middle.
Inside the donut?
Inside the donut.
Wow. While it was griddled, or they griddled it,
they griddled
split it open?
Split it open. It was
so an insanely amazing ice cream
sandwich. It was incredible. I was reading something, one of the most delicious things I've ever had.
And do they have it regularly on the menu now, or is this special
time? No, so right now I can't do wholesale.
Okay.
So I would have to be out there scooping ice cream. So when they needed some ice cream, they would come out and I would scoop some ice cream for them.
Okay.
And then they would put it on
and
the donut.
And why can't you do wholesale right now?
I would have, according to the regulations in Connecticut, anything when you cook. So I make a custard. I cook the eggs with the milk and the cream. And the eggs might be pasteurized and the milk and the cream might be pasteurized. But when you heat it, you have to re-pasteurize it.
Right.
And
to do that legally, you need like a $20,000 piece of equipment pasteurizer.
Right. Right. And there are already a few establishments in New Haven who want to purchase my ice cream. I've spoken to a few. I give tastings and they say, well, I really want to buy this. Where can I get this? Mm-hmm. So I can't sell it to you.
So why? This has always been a mystery to me with ice cream, that I sort of feel like we need to get a mass ice cream lobby to change this health department rule. Because why is it okay to make it the way you're making it? Every restaurant that makes ice cream does it the way you're doing it. They cook a custard on the stove and they chill it and pour it in an ice cream machine.
Right.
And it's legal to do that and serve it to the public.
Right.
So what's the distinction between that and what the logic is to do that for individual sale versus for wholesale?
I don't, but those are the regulations.
Yeah.
And I have to stick to them right now. You know, right. I'm hoping that in the future, you know, if my business were to grow and have enough demand wholesale, then I would have to purchase a pasteurizer and then I'd be able to sustain the business year round.
Yeah.
If I have a few establishments are willing to buy it, then that works really well.
Right.
That works well for me, that works well for them.
Yeah.
And it works well for local food.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's somebody else who would want to use your pasteurizer. Because I know a few people who've wanted to start ice cream businesses and that piece of equipment was the barrier. Yeah. So.
And just to be clear that I actually do technically pasteurize my mix.
Right.
It goes to 160 degrees Fahrenheit for 5 minutes.
Yep.
I make sure with a thermometer. So technically, my mix is pasteurized.
Right.
But it.
And everything is pre-pasteurized. Here on the counter, you have some of your ice creams.
I do.
Can we taste a little bit?
Yeah, let's do some experiments first. I'm going to give you this one. It's now kind of
a little melted.
But try that first. Tell me what flavor you think that is.
It has like an almondy taste, maybe?
Okay, good. Like that
but
idea.
But also vanilla. Let's see. Pistachio?
Nice. Okay, good.
Are they both pistachio?
They're both pistachio.
Okay.
The pistachio A.
The first one was
B.
very melted, so I could taste it somehow a little better in the second one. What's the difference between pistachio A and B?
It's just a question of sugar and.
Can I taste? What was the first one that I tasted?
Let's try this one. I think this was the first one.
That one is sweeter, yeah?
It's a question of sugar.
I like the second one.
The second one?
Yeah, the first one's a little too sweet for me.
Yeah. So I really love pistachio ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really challenging to make without it tasting. It's the same challenge a banana has. Either tastes too artificial or too sweet. And no one really knows what pistachio ice cream tastes like until when I went to when I went to Firenze. And there was this little gelato place in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And it had this pistachio ice cream that had the salt finish at the very end. So I've always been trying to recreate that
in an American style. How are you actually making, you know, most pistachio anything, sweet things are made with like a commercially produced pistachio paste or flavoring. So I know you're not using that. So how are you making your pistachio ice cream?
So I'm making my own paste. Basically, so I'm grinding the pistachios in a coffee grinder,
mm-hmm.
and adding sugar and some water, some mm-hmm. salt, and that's my paste that I add to my base, which I'm now having to adjust a little bit because of the sugar content.
Right, because you already had sugar in your base, and then you're using the sugar to help grind the nuts because it helps it get finer when you grind it with the sugar.
Right.
So are you letting the pistachio paste kind of cook in the milk at all, or you're just adding the paste to your custard base?
I'm letting it cook in there. But I think what I'll try to do next is I will try to sieve it out. Mm-hmm. It's fine enough that it's nice in the ice cream, that it won't be just soggy.
Yeah.
But I think I will want to try just to sieve it out, just to get, because there's a little bit of bitterness that's coming out, probably from the skins.
I thought it tasted good. Oh, but yeah.
Okay. Good. I think one of them was
too sweet.
There's a kind of a pine nut taste to it. So this is coffee ice cream. And the coffee I sourced from the coffee peddler on State Street.
Texture is amazing.
So
delicious.
With the coffee.
Do you have little coffee grinds in it?
Yeah, I left that in there.
I love coffee grinds in my ice cream.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I used to put really finely, like a espresso grind, actually as a topping on my coffee.
Okay.
And I always thought if I ever had an ice cream shop that I would make something and call it like, either call it coffee grinds or mud pie or something, and actually put the fine espresso powder on it. It's delicious.
So it was a happy accident that I was sieving out all of the coffee grounds, and the sieve fell into the ice cream.
Yeah.
I said, okay, the hell with it. It'll add a little bit more texture.
Yeah.
So once I actually made it into ice cream at home, I thought, oh, this is actually okay. This actually adds a little bit of texture, and when people are eating it, they like the grounds.
Yeah, I like it.
In there.
Yeah,
that's and great. This was a very surprising that kind of a nailed it the very first time I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
The coffee brought out much more sugar in the ice cream. So I had to cut the sugar down. I did 50%, not enough.
Yeah.
75%, just right.
Yeah. And most people have no idea how much detailed work goes into making one recipe for ice cream or anything else. So
right.
Right. And you are particularly careful in how you do this and paying attention to such nuance. So
yeah, but it was interesting. It's because it's all a balance between texture and taste.
Mm-hmm.
Texture and taste. You can add more sugar and it comes out so creamy and delicious.
Yeah, that one is
and
perfect.
Scoopable.
Yeah,
scoopable, but it's too sweet.
Yeah.
So you cut the sugar down, and then you get it becomes a little bit icier and more difficult to scoop. So you got to find the balance between all these ice creams. So this is my experiment. I think 30 plus experiments.
All right. So this is a beautiful chocolate ice cream. I'm taking a little scoop here. Let's see how it is. Oh my goodness. It's like fudgy.
Right.
I love that it kind of has a chocolate pudding taste to it. And it's dark without being bitter, and it's sweet, but it's mostly chocolate. Like, it's not overly sweet.
Yeah.
Are you happy with this chocolate?
Yeah, now that I'm eating it now, I'm happy. I'm glad that it's going through different flavors in my mouth as well.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned about the scoopability. I think it's fine now.
Because when it's really frozen,
when it's really frozen, it's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the issue with chocolate is, if you put in real chocolate, as soon as it gets cold, it just hardens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can, again, counter with sugar. It becomes too sweet. You can counter with more egg yolks. And you could do it that way.
Yeah.
So this is a few more egg yolks and actually more cocoa powder.
Yeah. I think it's delicious. It's great. Okay, so you just got your ice cream back in the freezer and you pulled out these beautiful candied pecans.
Right, so we were talking about the private tastings earlier, that when somebody requests a flavor from me and then pushes me to make one. So my friend had his 40th birthday and he loves butter pecan ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to create butter pecan ice cream for him. So these are just the pecans that I roasted and candied. And I put some curry powder in there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the extra interest in this ice cream.
Delicious. So you're chopping those up and putting them in your base. And do you put any curry in the base, or it's just on the nuts?
It's going to be just in the nuts. The base itself is, when I was doing research about butter pecan, it's basically the base with brown sugar instead of white sugar.
Right. I think we tasted that last time.
The butter pecan?
Yeah, I think
so. Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah.
It was delicious. Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. So I had these nuts many, many years ago at a fundraiser, and I asked my friend for the recipe, and she sent me the recipe because I remembered the curry.
Yeah.
So I was excited about that.
That's great. So I think I had mentioned one of the struggles for me is with cooking is that, especially doing, if you kind of get into fancy cooking or like, you know, fine ingredients and things like that, is that when you're also looking at what's going on in the world and wanting to do something that feels meaningful in the world and working on the injustices in the world, the contradiction between like fancy ice cream or fancy cooking and doing something that feels meaningful and important for me is always this internal conflict that I feel all the time, that I'm always trying to find a balance with. And I'd love to hear from you now, like you're further along in this business and in your work. Is that something that you think about and that resonates for you, and kind of how does that show up in your life and your choices?
Yes, that's a really great question. So being a musician, classical musician, I feel as though the progress was always over months and years. The same thing with teaching, the progress over months and years, and sometimes you don't know the impact you have on a student after many, many, many years. I still have students who contact me when I haven't taught for 10 years. And they contact me and we have a connection. They tell me how meaningful the lessons were and the time we had together. And I would not have known that otherwise. Here with the ice cream, I feel as though I'm doing the same thing, but there's immediate feedback. So I give the ice cream to you. You taste the ice cream. I see you enjoying it. I see you having a conversation with your friend about the ice cream. We have a conversation about the ice cream sometimes. We make a connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the company is called What Is Real.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted that real connection with people. Now that I'm on the street actually serving it, it is real. It is real. The ingredients are real. The amount of attention that I've paid to the ice cream is real. The love I put into the ice cream is real. The connection that I have serving it, that's real for me. Even if only for a few minutes, we have a connection over that ice cream. I really feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not much I can do about political situation, foreign affairs, domestic affairs. Not much I could do about that. But I can serve some ice cream that is beautiful and tasty, and we'll hopefully begin a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Begin a conversation. So I'll give you an example. Just 2 days ago, my first customer is this couple. First customers of the day. And I was serving the ice cream. They ordered something. I was scooping it. And they said, "Are you Iranian?" I said, "No, I'm originally from Israel." And the woman in this couple, I saw her face fall. And she said, "I'm a Palestinian." I said, "Okay, hopefully this ice cream will create some peace between us and start a conversation and a connection." And that was how we left it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that that created some connection between us. And nothing I can do about the peace process itself.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys talk beyond that, or it was just sort of this fleeting moment?
It was a fleeting moment, and I hope that she comes back and has some more ice cream, because the ice cream was good enough for her tastes.
It sounds like the thread through, whether it's music teaching or serving ice cream, is that it's creating this meaningful connection that's not based on rhetoric and not just based on kind of how we're perceived by society, but on like meaningful connection between two individual people. And remembering that there are other perspectives and experiences, whether it's like a kid from New Haven who has never really listened to classical music and never held a violin before, and what is that experience? And I would imagine, like, when I think about that, trying not to bring a judgment in about like classical music is better than hip hop or something, but just like these are all different kinds of music, and it's giving people an opportunity to have those experiences, just like your ice cream is not necessarily better than Dairy Queen, right? It's different. Like, it's there's different. A time for Mr. Softy or a soft serve, and there's Mr. a time for What Is Real. Yeah, but I think that's important, that like that's what we lose sometimes in this really polarized political environment, is remembering that there are other perspectives and being willing to have a conversation and listen. Not that we don't have our own opinions and perspectives, but But it's, you have to understand the whole complexity of things to be able to deal with,
mm-hmm.
make change.
I think that the good food is a conversation starter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a connection starter. So if you can do it over ice cream, I'm just happen to do it over ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, and ice cream makes people smile. So I think that's a good, like, the joy that comes from ice cream is a good starting point.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah, so what's next for you with your business? Where are you off to next?
So I have a few events coming up tonight. Tonight, for instance, I'm going to be vending outside the Eli Contemporary Art Museum.
Okay.
On Trumbull Street. And have another event in Westville in July, and some other events throughout the year. I'm going to be doing some more collaborations with Ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the griddled donuts, which are unbelievable. you have to come out for those.
Awesome.
And doing some events at Black Hog, the Oxford Brewery.
Which is also connected to Casey's.
Exactly. Yeah. And Jason has been a tremendous mentor for this entire process.
Yeah.
I think without Jason, there would not be what is real ice cream in its current form.
Yeah. So this is Jason Sobosinski, who's the owner of Casey's. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonderful. I would show up for breakfast meetings and give him some ice creams to try, and we'd talk about the business. And
that's great.
So it's been ongoing for at least a year and a half or something.
That's wonderful.
So I'll shout out to him. He can have as much ice cream as he wants for himself. For his entire lifetime. And just out on the street, building a reputation, getting it into people's minds that I'm available for events.
Yeah.
And would love to do more of them.
Yeah. So when people want to find you, tell us again, do you have a website, or are they finding you through Facebook? Or
you can do Facebook or Instagram, and it's whatisreal_icecream.
Great. And I will put all your information up on thetableunderground.com, so people can go there also and click through into finding you and some pictures of your delicious ice cream.
Excellent. Thank you.
I think I snapped a few shots of you out on the street.
Okay,
too,
great.
Scooping. So, Netta, thank you for letting me taste your ice cream again and just welcoming me into your space. It's so exciting to see you launching this new business.
Thanks, Tegan. I really appreciate the support.
Yes, always.
And your enthusiasm.
Yay, ice cream.
Yay.
Yay, Netta. Okay. Thanks, Netta.
Thank you.
You're listening to WNHH Community Radio 103.5 FM. You can hear more episodes, find recipes, photos, and more at thetableunderground.com, or check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other podcasting sites. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and check you next time.